Glad you're here. Glad it's a wonderful time. I hope I say it every week. One, I hope that you come with expectation. I hope you come excited about being in God's house, being with God's people, worshiping the Lord through music, hearing the word, and just being in a corporate way of being with God's people. What a great opportunity it is. I also say it every week. We mean it. You're not here by mistake. You're here by design. No matter why you thought you came today, no matter what brought you here today, God may have another plan for you, but you are here by design. You may be a student that's here under, like, oh, I got to go to church again. God has you here for a reason. You may be a spouse that says, oh, he or she wants me to go, but you're here for a reason. And if we will approach it that way, that God, I'm here because by design, regardless of what it took to get me here, I'm here right now. So in this moment, speak to me in this moment. I'm here by design. We have been talking so much about the work of grace. And this morning we have a guest, probably the second time here. Betty's over here. And I got to tell you, I left the stage during the welcome there because you can't see her. But, and I'm not going to ask her age, okay? I'm not going to do that. But let me just tell you, that lady, when we were doing Awesome is the Lord Most High, she was dancing, man. She was worshiping. She was clapping. And I had to leave and tell her that she blessed me this morning because that's the way we all ought to approach it. And I said, Betty, and she just looked at me and says, I walk with God every day. Ain't it great? That's what it ought to be about. The grace of God to endure, the grace of God, this work of grace. And last week we talked about grace, that what we don't deserve. I mean, it's unmerited favor, this getting what we don't deserve and the mercy of God not giving us what we do deserve, that we are saved by grace. I am so thankful for that. I am thankful that it's a work that he has done. Some of you still wrestle with that. You still wrestle thinking that I have to do something to be made right with God, that I got to get on that spiritual treadmill and, oh, I said a bad word or I did this and, oh, no, I got it. Listen, God says you've been declared righteous, justified, and redeemed. That's the work of grace that saves you and sanctifies you. Yes, we fail. Yes, but we are thankful today that God's faithfulness to us is not based upon our faithlessness to him. That's the work of grace. It's unmerited favor, not getting that which we do deserve, but getting overwhelmed with this fathomless grace that nothing can separate you from God's love today. Nothing. And we've looked at this work of grace. And then if we see grace at work in our life, there are some things that are going to be seen in our life. There's some things that will be taking place in our life. One is just the fact of a new life. We looked at these last week, most of these. A new life. That is the greatest testimony. I got to tell you, you can argue all you want about the Lord and about the God, and you can watch Morgan Freeman do his thing about God and all that stuff. But let me tell you, the greatest testimony to God is a changed life, a new life. I mean, you look at your life and say, I once was that, but now, we looked at that last week at Titus. You were formerly all these things. You were that. But now look what God has done. The work of grace in our life is that he changes us. He gives us a new life. The old is gone. The new has come. He's forgiven us of our sin. Yes, it's a process. We understand that it's a process. But we have this new life, a changed life. That change in nature, that change in family. We have a family here. Our change in desires, our change in purpose, our change in perspective and in the priorities of our life. That God slowly starts to say, these things just aren't important anymore. And these things are. You can look all you want for fulfillment and purpose in these things, but pretty soon they're hollow and they're empty. And you realize they don't pay off. And you start to realize that the only life that really has purpose is a changed life through Jesus Christ. But it's not just a changed life that once you come to know him, he is in the process of changing us, complete this process. From the infant that he says, we are a new creation, this baby, but he wants to grow us to maturity. And all along the way, there's that process. When you sign up to come to know Christ, when you give your life to Christ, you are in a process of change forever, hopefully. Process of change, becoming more like Christ, to be drawn to him and to become like him. That changing life. But we looked at last week as well, the giving life, that we are to have a giving life out of 2 Corinthians 8, that each man is determined in his own heart what to give, but that we are to be giving. We don't mind talking about speech and about our love for each other and all that kind of stuff. We don't mind messages on that. But the issue of to excel in the grace of giving, to excel in the grace of giving, the work of grace is most clearly demonstrated by giving. Now, some of you have a hard time with that. But that's just the truth. The work of grace is why. Because Matthew 6 says that where your treasure is, what? There your heart is. She said, Bill, I don't like that. You think it's going to be our greatest grace is going to be demonstrated. You don't mind the grace of speech, the grace of forgiveness, the grace. But when he says to excel in the grace of giving, and he says where your treasure is, there your heart is, it is a barometer of where we are at. It's a barometer of the grace that we have, the greatest demonstration of being understanding grace, not out of guilt, not out of fear, but out of a response. When the stimulus is grace, when the stimulus is seeing what he's done for us, when the stimulus is understanding that we are forgiven, when the stimulus is that we were once like that without purpose, without hope, without, and now we are this, and God's taking us to there, the response ought to be automatic. I know there's people on our board, different things, say, I don't usually talk much about money, and here you got 2 weeks in a row. But I usually don't say much, and people say, well, you need to educate. Well, you know what? In some sense, I don't believe so. Just like in the Word, there are certain things that when God changes our life, there are some things that just come just naturally. That the changed life ought to be, well, I want to give back to God. I want to give to what he's blessed me with. I want to realize that every breath I have is from him. I want to be a part of that, this giving life, that changed life, that giving life. Yes, to give our time, which is the currency of this day. We had people serving all week. We had the second harvest here Friday, and people were distributing food. We had yesterday, we were feeding the least of these for the homeless in Tracy, and we were putting together food here for that, and they had a group here doing that, which I appreciate so much as we worked together and got that for the least of these for our Tracy campus as well. We have people serving right now. Yeah, they're giving of their time, their talents, their abilities. They're giving of their treasure. People who give, it was just so encouraging to me that even after last week, the issue of giving of their treasure, giving of your thought life. Are you thinking about the things of God? Are you listening? I mean, little simple things. Are you listening to Christian music instead of every political pundit giving you stuff that you don't have any clue of? Are you listening to the things of the Lord? Are you putting in your mind, are you dwelling on these things? These are the things he says to think on. And what do we fill them with? See, being a good steward of giving life is giving him our thought life, our time, our talent, and our treasure. I was moved. Many of you know that I have a philosophy of growing a church as a three-legged stool. The first leg is fresh worship, but Pastor Paul and the team, they do well. I mean, I mean, my hat's off to them. They do a great job. And we love our worship, and it's blended, and I love that. And we recycle and recycle. We replicate people, and we grow people, and want them to serve, making it a way of serving. But we have to have fresh word. The second leg is fresh word, where we say to the word what the word says. I mean, there's things you could be politically correct at whatever. I choose not to do that if the word says it, like with giving. That's what we need to be. Like with all these things, but there needs to be a fresh word. And the third thing is the issue of warm people. You guys right here, the body of Christ, not being exclusive, but being inclusive of every person that walks through that door. Every person that walks through that door has a story. It may have begun today, but they may need you today to be the story. I don't know if you remember on Valentine's Day, there was a group that came, and I at the door, I offhandedly remarked, said, man, looks like you brought your old baseball team. And they said, we are a baseball team. Remember that? They sat right over here. A whole bunch of kids, a whole bunch of guys. And so they were here, they worshiped with us, they left, they were at a tournament over here at Big League Dreams or whatever it's called, and that's where they were at. But they came to church that morning, they joined us, looked us up on the line online, and there we are. I received it this week, this little note this week. Dear Grace Community, my family was in Lathrop over the Valentine's Day weekend for our son's baseball team's tournament. We visited your church, and we felt so very welcomed by your staff and your congregants. We will visit again the next time we're in town. God bless you. A warm family. The Willets. Now, I thought that is great because what that does to me is it says you folks catch it. You get what it's to be about. The next time they come, I want to hook them up with our students. I want our students to be able to minister to them in some way. They come to a tournament. But the reality is, man, they brought this note and you folks brought to them. You've overwhelmed them with your love. But what's even better to me in one sense with that, is that show them they demonstrated to me because along with this card, they included a check of a substantial amount for the work and the ministry of the church here. Because that's the grace of giving. That is the grace. You know what? God blessed us by being in your church. God blessed us with the students. God blessed us with, and you know what? We want to put back. That in a heartbeat is a nut, in a nutshell, is the heartbeat of what giving's all about. That God has blessed us, so therefore we want to return. That we are to have a giving life. I mentioned as well the issue that just in the sense of giving about the growth in giving challenge. that there's issues that we have in our church that need to be met. The chairs you're sitting on need to be replaced. Many of you have risen and said, okay, I had, you know, one family said, well, I'm gonna buy some chairs for my family. Oh, I thought, okay, for you or for your husband? No, it was not just for my husband and myself, but for on and on our kids, our grandkids, we're just gonna buy a chair. We're just gonna pay. We're gonna figure out how much the chair is. Others have said, you know what, we need to be a part of that. People just off the cuff, we're not doing a capital campaign making you sign a card commitment. That means nothing. A commitment card that's based on pen is not from the heart. We need to say, hey, listen, I want to meet that need. You know, as the money comes in, we'll buy chairs. As the money comes in, we'll do the portables for more classroom space. It's based upon the family of God and saying, I want to help meet a need. It's a giving life, but it's also a serving life. The life that we have of service. Man, we talked about people serve from all week. They're serving the nursery and stars today and junior stars all over here. They've got greeters. We got prayer partners. We need people. We've talked about people being servant hosts, our campus hosts, service hosts, of people sitting by others who come, new timers, first timers who come and sit by themselves. May it never happen. May we overwhelm them with the love of our church. It's tough going to a church for a first time. It's difficult, man. You know, you walk in, but boy, if we can overwhelm them with the love that we have. The issue of giving, yes, your time, your currency, yes, your talents, yes, your treasure, yes, your thinking. But we also need the work of grace. As I planned for today, as I thought about today, the work of grace, I think, that most clearly needs to be seen in our life. Beyond all these, they're all important. But I think there's an eternal work, a new perspective that we need to see within the issue of a change in our mentality and a change in the focus of when you understand grace. And some of you are going to say, what? But I think it's so important. The Apostle Paul wrote about that. Pastor Paul will agree with the Apostle, I hope. But the issue here is that we are a weakened container, but we contain a treasure. We are a weakened container. This container is weak, but we contain such a treasure within it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 to 7. For what we preach is not ourselves, Paul's saying, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine where? In our hearts, to give us, as Romans 5 says, he's given us the love of God within us to shed abroad. The whole issue in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory, displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Paul is saying as we serve, he was worried about the Corinthians getting weak and well-doing. He's concerned about the Corinthians saying, oh, well, because in the Corinthian culture right there, it was all show. It was all what, you know, boy, if they were to measure a church today, they would measure the church by, well, is it successful? Is it popular? Do they have a nice new building? You know, what? They would look on the outside. And Paul's saying, no. You know, we have this treasure stored within us, placed there by the Spirit of God, and it is a treasure, and it's held in earthen clay jars that are, you wouldn't really think about putting your treasure in one of those. But yet, that is the wonderful way, that glorious way that he's chosen to show the world his love is through us, by placing his Spirit within us, a weakened vessel, and yet from that weakened vessel, with cracks all over it, the light of the Lord Jesus shines through them. That we are a weakened container. We, obviously, it's humbling when we realize who we are. And yet you can readily identify the one who's arrogant in Christ, thinking that they brought something to Christ that Christ really needs. No. That we are humbled. He himself became that servant. He himself led by modeling that. We are a weakened container. But praise the Lord, he chooses weakened containers. Broken pots, wounded pots, scarred pots, to put the blessing of life within through the Lord Jesus Christ giving us his Spirit when we trust in him. You contain, if you know the Lord Jesus today, yes, you are a weakened container, but you have the treasure of the Lord Jesus, the light of him within you. You have that. The reality is we are a crumbling container. Let me give you a news flash today. Our body, it's wearing out. Some of you really know that. Some of you really understand the truth of this body, this container, wasting away. We see the fact, he says, guess what? Your body is wearing out. 2 Corinthians, same chapter, verse 4, verses 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Not the jar of clay, but the light within inside. Since what is seen is temporary, boy, isn't it, but what is unseen is eternal. Our bodies are crumbling. That's just the way it is. We pretty soon look at man, we wake up with groans and creaks and scars, all the things of our life. And we see, like, we realize no matter how much we want to be obsessed with taking care of this, some obsessed with body, Paul is saying, listen, we are crumbling away. And no matter what you want to do to try to stop it, you can't. We've got a whole industry on plastic surgeons who are trying to bring back your youth. But guess what? They're only fixing the jar, and underneath that jar, it's still cracked and it's wasting away. It's wasting away. I don't understand. I sit there in the gym. I go to the gym, and I, you know, some of you go because you love it. I go because I got to. And I sit there, and I'll have my earbuds in. Usually there's nothing on them. It's just to block everything out, okay? Yeah, exactly. And I will watch these guys. I don't think they've realized that no matter what they do, no matter how obsessed they are with it, they're dying. Newsflash. Everyone dies. Thin, fat, tall, short, you ain't going to get away from it unless Jesus returns. And yet we are so obsessed with what Paul is saying. We obsess about the jar. And if we were as obsessed about the inner light that God has given us, if we are obsessed about focusing on Him, just think about our inner maturity would be, our inner life would be, our inner growth would be when we let Him shine through us. And I sit there, and it's a good reason that way I don't have to do another set. I'll sit on the machine, and I'll pray for some of these guys, and I'll be thinking, man, they may have it all together here this way. They can pump it up. They stand in front of the mirror. I watch them stand in front of the mirror. I'm like, what are you looking at, Jack? You know, it's going to sag. It's going to go. It's going to go. And yet I wonder, do they have the treasure inside them? Sure, we need to take care of our bodies. Sure, that's why I go. You know, I need to watch what I eat. And I do it. But listen, bodily exercise profited little. I can sit there and I can sweat and I can swim and I can ride the bike, go lift the weights. But that one candy bar, Reese's peanut butter cup, when I get back in the car, takes it all away. See, we have a treasure stored within us, a crumbling container. Now, just a note for some of you theologians. The reality here, Paul is talking directly about the body and about the inner light that God's given us, the relationship that we have. But you will not notice anywhere in here where Paul seems to stop and say, your sickness is sin, and we want to get a miracle to heal you. In fact, it's not mentioned at all. You would think it might be. That if the miracle of healing was that important in our life, it is not the miracle of healing of the body, the jar that we need. It's the miracle of healing of the light within us when we give our life to Christ and He places His Spirit within us and you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That's what He's concerned with. Well, we can do all the things in the outward, but He says, what are you developing inwardly? What are you developing? That this container is crumbling, but we have a daily treasure to be renewed. Being renewed, he says, so therefore we don't lose heart. And yes, he agrees that though outwardly we are wasting away, but the focus is not the wasting away. The focus of that passage is being renewed daily. Do we get renewed daily? How do we get renewed within that process? What's your attitude? I think there's times that we need to have a renewed attitude. I think we need to be like Betty over here to live every day walking with Jesus, to make that our focus. Because it seems like in our attitude, we start caring more about our things in this world. As we get older, believe me, I'm telling you, pretty soon everything rotates around and revolves around the doctor's appointment and when you got to take the next pill. And some people say, why are you in a hurry? You got to take a pill? Well, now I do. You're right. I can't miss it, you know. But we come to the issue of a change in our attitude. That if we will focus on inward renewal, it will change. Listen, to those of you who are negative Nellies, it used to be just this, you know, we think, well, the older folks, you know, they're negative. No, it can grow any line now. When you focus on the things around you, the circumstances of your life, the problems you're facing, the struggles of your family, when you start focusing on those circumstances, you will not be renewed daily, and boy, it will tell. And the attitude isn't, here's all my problems. The attitude should be, as Paul said, how do I glorify God in the midst of those? I'm being renewed. People need to see that. Quit complaining. Some of you need to have an attitude change. There are some people that you will see, you may be that person, that when you walk in the building, everybody says, I got to go the other way. Why? Because you're sucking the life out of them. That's really it. And instead of renewing them and encouraging them and speaking truth in your life to say, man, I want to stimulate you to good works. It's all about, man, we give them an organ recital of all the ills in our life. And he's saying, yeah, you can identify the fact that this body is crumbling. But that's not to be our focus. You should be glorifying God. I shared this with our Life Force Tuesday as I met with our seniors. And we talked about, yeah, your body's crumbling, so here's some things you need to do at this age, both mentally, both financially, both spiritually, all these things that need to be done just in a very basic way for those as you get older. But also, not just for our seniors, the attitude needs to be, God, I'm not done yet. There was no getting off. There's no getting. We are all running the race. Those of us who are a little older, who have bad knees, are running probably a little bit slower. But there never was the option to stop running the race. It's not an option. And when we run the race with joy in the midst of bad situations, in the midst when life just, man, just hands you stuff that upsets your cup. And the focus is we focus on our turmoil and our struggles and our trials instead of focusing that we're renewed day by day. Spiritually, he says to be renewed day by day, that his mercies are new every morning. Are you in the Word? Are you praying? Are you giving him your thoughts? Are you talking to God? That new perspective. And that, I believe, is the greatest work of grace, is that he changes our perspective from focusing on this life to realize, yeah, this life is short. The trials are really light and momentary. But one day we will be with him in heaven. We will be in glory with him. And it will all make sense and it will pass. We bear the marks of sin in our life, you betcha, in our society, in our culture, in our nature. And he came to redeem us from that. But we need to have a renewal of our life. We need to be the people who are renewing others, who are speaking to others' lives. Instead of focusing on all of our problems, poor me, man, we got Eeyore Christians. Oh, I know God is good. Really? Really? You live that way? So what? Let me just give you this as we close. First off, understand, everyone has problems. Christians, non-Christians, believers, non-believers, everybody has problems. You don't escape it. Some lives seem to be more blessed than others, and that's God's doing. He says, I can bless the just and the unjust, the right. I bless them all. But all of us have problems. But we can choose to glorify God through them all. All of them, all of us can choose to glorify God in the midst of them, no matter what it is, to glorify God. Are you seeking renewal? Do you have that perspective that says, I'm not going to focus on my trials and tribulations, but I'm going to focus on glorifying God through them to get to the other side? Is your focus on home? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1-9. For we know that if the earthly tent, that's what we have right here is a tent. We like our tents at times. You go camping, but you never want to stay there. You don't want to live there. You want to come home, find a shower, find a bathroom, all that kind of stuff, running water. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God. We have an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, while we groan, long and be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. That is the truth. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Our goal is to glorify him through all of it and to understand that this is not our home. And I think that's the greatest perspective that the work of grace can do in our life, that we understand this is not the end. This is not my home. This is not my place. I'm just here for a little while, and I'm going to be out of here. We're going to be in home in heaven. Are you sharing that treasure? Are you sharing the treasure that God's placed within you? Are you being his visible representation of Christ to this world? In your cracked pot, are you letting the light of Jesus shine through and say, yes, look at man, look at my cracked pot, but look what God has redeemed. Look at the light, the treasure that I have within me. And will you make it a goal to refresh others? Make it a goal to refresh others. Why? Because of the stimulation in your life. If his stimulus is that he's refreshing you, guess what? You will be a refreshment to others. You will be the encouragement to others. And that's what the world needs to see. Let's pray.